World Sport from the BBC with me, Hugh Ferris. Coming up, Manchester United move level on points with neighbours City after Paul Scholes scores on his return.
Nani right side of the area, sliding challenge from Ouija comes to Rooney, behind Welbeck, scores! Paul Scholes scores! He's back with a goal!
But Tottenham lose ground in the title race, and we'll look ahead as Australia's cricketers try to wrap up the Test series against India in Perth. We start though with Saturday's action in the English Premier League, where Manchester United are now level on points with leaders Manchester City after a comfortable 3-0 win over struggling Bolton. But as John Murray explains, Paul Scholes continues to dominate the headlines.
For the second time this week, brace yourself for a pile of tributes to a returning Premier League goal scorer. Sir Bobby Charlton today described Paul Scholes coming out of retirement as one of the best pieces of news he's ever had. So Sir Bobby must have been ecstatic when it was Scholes who scored the opening goal just before half-time. Scholes popping up at the back post to turn in Rooney's cross. Rooney had already seen a penalty saved. Welbeck and Carrick scored the second half goals to seal the comfortable victory, but it is Scholes that will be remembered from this one.
And it was Scholes' 151st goal for United, nearly a year and a half after his 150th, and manager Sir Alex Ferguson had plenty of praise for his 37-year-old midfielder.
Well, he's a great player, you know, and some of the press have been very negative, I can understand it, but that's probably because it's United. He's still a fantastic player. And I thought today he showed just the same things he'd been showing for the last 10 years.
Bolton could be bottom of the table again if Wigan pull off a surprise win over leaders Manchester City on Monday, but their manager Owen Coyle is remaining upbeat.
3-0, I felt was a bit harsh on us on the day. I mean, I think United had certainly one or two chances first half, obviously the penalty same. But second half at 1-0, I thought some good goal scoring opportunities really took a grip of the game in that period. And the second goal was obviously a huge turning point. A little bit fortuitous the way it's run through to him, I think, but he's finished in the corner. So certainly disappointed to finish having lost 3-0, given the effort and the application we put into the game. There was a lot of positives today from the game, there's no doubt about it.
Tottenham failed to go level on points with the top two after only managing a 1-1 draw at home to Wolves. Mick McCarthy's side took a surprise lead through Stephen Fletcher in the first half, but Luka Modric equalised for Spurs just after the break. But manager Harry Redknapp wasn't too downhearted with the result.
Well, we couldn't have done any more. We gave everything we had and, we went one down from a dubious quarter decision. But we came back, got the goal, and I felt we'd win from there on. But, we had chances. We just couldn't get one to drop for us. Couldn't have asked for any more. I thought we did play well and you're not going to win every game, are you?
As for the Wolves manager Mick McCarthy, well, he was ecstatic with the point, which keeps them a point above the relegation zone.
Terrific point, yeah, and a really good performance. We've had to play well. We're playing against Barclays Premier League champions elect, so everybody's been saying, even myself, and I think they're a fabulous team, so I think that tells you how well we've had to play today and defend.
Frank Lampard's 11th goal of the season was enough for Chelsea to beat Sunderland to make it three wins on the trot. Watching for the BBC was Alistair Bruce Ball.
Frank Lampard's goal, it could so easily have been Fernando Torres's, who looked sharper, much sharper today. An acrobatic volley from him at the back post came rattling off the crossbar, and Lampard, as ever, was in the right place at the right home to tuck home the winner. But Chelsea really had to hang on in a thrilling second half. Sunderland wasted two glorious late chances right at the end of the game. Neither Craig Gardner or Nicholas Bentner even getting their shots on target when they were found in excellent positions. Poor old Martin O'Neill was visibly going through the agonies on the touchline in front of us. All about missed chances, another stirring performance, but this was a big win for Chelsea.
It's now 14 games without a goal for Chelsea striker Fernando Torres, who last scored for his club in mid-October, but after providing the chance for Lampard's winner, manager Andre Villas-Boas is sure the Spaniard will find the net soon.
Well, he's been playing well. His movements have been good, improving, feeling more confident and getting his sharpness right. So I think it's good to see him to his full best. I think the crowd did a good job today also to incentivate him to and pushing, always giving confidence. And it's good, helps the player feel well in the pitch.
Liverpool missed the chance to move into the top five of the Premier League after drawing at home for the seventh time this season. Kenny Dalglish's side drew 0-0 with Stoke City. Blackburn Rovers are out of the relegation zone for the first time since September after an eventful 3-1 victory at home to Fulham. The Nigerian forward Yakubu was sent off early in the game for a high challenge, but that did not prevent Rovers from gaining their first win in 2012. Mort Gams Pedersen, David Dunn, Amaro Formica were all on the score sheet, leaving manager Steve Keane in a jubilant mood.
Any victory is a nice feeling, and I'm delighted for the players and the staff and the supporters and the owners, because, you know, when you go down to 10 men, you know, you're thinking, you know, it's going to be tough, and it's so early in the match, but I felt as though we reorganised well. For us to play with 10 men, to get ourselves out the bottom three, and for the fans to go home and see that, I'm delighted for everybody connected to the club.
Elsewhere in the Premier League, Norwich City are up to ninth after a 2-1 win at West Brom. Steve Morrison scored the winner late in the second half, and Aston Villa drew 1-1 at home to Everton. In Spain's La Liga, Real Madrid are 8 points clear at the top after coming from behind to win 2-1 at Mallorca. Gonzalo Higuain and Jose Maria Callejon scored the goals. Champions Barcelona can cut the deficit when they play Real Betis on Sunday. Third place Valencia lost 1-0 at home to Real Sociedad to stay 4 points behind Barca. In Italy, the Serie A game between Catania and Roma in Sicily had to be abandoned in the second half because of heavy rain. The match was level at 1-1. Sunday's Milan derby is the pick of the league's fixtures this weekend. Carlo Ancelotti won his first Ligue 1 game in charge of Paris Saint-Germain, 3-1 against Toulouse to stay 3 points clear at the top. Moving to cricket, and Australia will be looking to wrap up the Test series against India on the third day of the third Test against India in Perth. The visitors will resume their second innings on 88 for 4 at the Wacker, still 120 runs behind. Aussie bowler Mitchell Starc, who bowled Sachin Tendulkar out for just 8, is confident they can continue their dominance in the series.
When Sachin came out, Michael kind of had a bit of a plan to bowl Rhino to him, as he's got him out a couple of times in the past and in the first innings as well. So, and then came back into the attack and had a few more overs under my belt. So I'm pretty happy with how they're coming out, but more importantly, we're in a good position for the rest of the game. I think both sides have found a few cracks in both the last two innings. So hopefully we can use them to our advantage tomorrow morning especially, and get a few more wickets early and get stuck into that tail.
South Africa have taken a 2-0 lead in their one-day series against Sri Lanka after winning the second match in East London by 5 wickets. Hashim Amla hit a half-century in the victory, but will miss the remaining 3 games of the series to be with his wife, who's expecting their first child. Now, it's not long until the Australian Open gets underway. The first Grand Slam of 2012 starts on Monday. Defending champion Novak Djokovic has been talking ahead of the tournament as he aims to emulate last year's success of winning 3 majors. The world number one and top seed, who faces Paolo Lorenzi of Italy in the first round, says he's positive he can defend his crown.
When I step on the court right now and I prepare for the major events, it's a different feeling from what I had in the past years. I just have more self-belief when I'm out there. I have a great team of people around me that we're all trying to keep the same approach, very simple approach to the tennis and to the preparation for the major events and for the new season as we did in the past couple of years. I finished in London for a week or so, and then I had 2 weeks of the real rest. I had time to reflect on what I have achieved in 2011. I was very proud, obviously, of the whole success, but I was also aware of the fact that I don't have that much time to enjoy that success, and that I have to, you know, rest and then continue on with the preparation for the new season.
That's Novak Djokovic. Before we go, a reminder of our top story. The two Manchester clubs are once again level on points at the top of the English Premier League after United's 3-0 win over Bolton at Old Trafford. Paul Scholes scored his first goal since August 2010 after coming out of retirement last week. Tottenham failed to join them after being held to a 1-1 draw by Wolves. For now, though, that's the latest.